The first thing I'll address is the injuries. Same as we talked about the other day, three players won't be able to practice and don't anticipate them playing. It would be Brian Dawkins, Demaryius Thomas, and Andre Goodman. Other than that, we've got some guys battling through some things, but hopefully we can have as close to a full rest of the roster as possible. Getting ready for the Chiefs, the first thing we talked about is Arrowhead Stadium and what that's like. We know that the atmosphere there is always loud. It's not easy to, not an easy place to play. We know that we're going to work with noise all week offensively and anticipate that to be the case on Sunday. The Chiefs have played very well there this year. They're undefeated, 5-0. Their offense has averaged over 200 yards rushing every game that they've played at home. Their defense has only given up 13 points a game at home and has not surrendered more than 20 points in a game all season there. So we know that all of the problems that they present are magnified playing in that stadium. Looking at them since they played, since we played them a few weeks ago, they've really gotten back to the things that we, you know, certainly were impressed by them before. Their rushing game is by far and away the best in the league so far. Jamaal Charles already went over 1,000 yards. He's had a bunch of explosive runs since we played him, and certainly had a number of those before we played him the first time. Thomas Jones is also on pace to rush for 1,000 yards. And their offense in general doesn't turn the football over. They have 8 so far, and they're on pace. That would be a pace for 12, which would be an NFL record. So we know that turnovers, if we are fortunate enough to get one, as we did in the first game, will be at a premium. And taking care of the football for our offense will also be very important, obviously. The passing game has really kind of taken off here recently. You know, Castle's having a phenomenal season, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and you know, he's really found his stride in the last 7 games. And Bo has become, you know, as big a play receiver as there could possibly be in the league. You know, he's third down last week, had 7 catches, all for first downs. Been a big red zone target for him too as well. So a lot of things to deal with on their offense defensively. They've allowed 60 yards rushing a game in the last 2 weeks. They've certainly created some turnovers against Seattle and Arizona, created a lot of negative plays that put them in third down and long, which we talked a lot about this morning, staying out of, because we didn't do a good job of that last week. Johnson and Ali, we think, are two of the most disruptive linebackers we'll play all season. They've continued to play at a very high level, both in the passing game and in stopping the run. And they've had some guys change around in the secondary a little bit. They've had some, you know, some players have to play at corner, some different combinations of safety. Their nickelback situation was fluctuated a little bit last week because of some of the injuries that they faced. But they've done a nice job of not preventing of preventing big plays in the secondary. Even so, big challenge. We also understand that the second game of a division rivalry or division series is usually much different than the first one in terms of the way that it's played, some of the schemes that coaches use. And we talked to our team this morning about expecting some things certainly to be different from the first game, and we need to anticipate and be able to adjust on Sunday. Anytime that you play in a team this close together, you know it's not going to be just the same thing in terms of structure and scheme too. So a lot of things to focus on, and our preparation is underway. Questions?
Josh, the other night, Pat made one statement and came out with something else. Can you tell us your reaction to what you heard?
I'm just going to control what, you know, I can control. You know, focus on the Chiefs. That's what we're focused on. I have a normal routine with Mr. Bolin, and we see each other every day. He's here every day and talk about practice, talk about the opponent. He's usually out at practice, and I'm just going to continue doing my job, and our relationship hasn't changed. We've talked you know, the other day, we taught today, and, you know, I'm going to focus on the Chiefs.
You get a sense any of your assistants or anyone else, personnel or anything, has concerns about the way things will
end? I mean, I think everybody's focused on the same thing right now.
Last game, ended this animosity on Todd's part when he played the Chiefs. What do you expect? You expect anything different be on account of that?
I don't think so. I mean, I have a great deal of respect for them. They're doing a great job this year of, you know, putting themselves in position right now to, you know, leading the division and having a great opportunity to make the playoffs in front of them. And, again, I have a great deal of respect for everybody in that organization. And I would anticipate that this would just be a competitive game. And I plan on doing, shaking hands and all that stuff. It's not a big deal to me. I plan on doing that no matter what the outcome of the game is.
Did you ever hear from Todd? Did you ever say anything?
No, I did not.
With what you did to them at Invesco Field, and obviously Todd had, he was spurred to apologize publicly in his Monday press conference. I can imagine you're expecting a hornet's nest atmosphere.
Oh, it'll be that way no matter what. I don't think that really has anything to do with what happened after the game was over. I think this is one of the great places to play. I've had an opportunity to play there a few times, and it's really a challenge in terms of the noise level, your operation, particularly on offense, to try to make sure that you can try to play a penalty-free game, no false starts. Those kind of things are enhanced in terms of your ability to do them the right way. And so it's a great place to play. I think we're all looking forward to it, and hopefully we can, put together another good performance against this team.
Is there anything that you would have changed looking back after the handshake snub? Is there anything that you look back and thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have blitzed so much in the fourth quarter, or I shouldn't have done this or that?
I mean, we were just trying to play football. I mean, it has, really, they were continuing to play the whole game, and so were we. And I think that's really how it goes every week. We were trying to stop them on defense, and we were trying to move the ball effectively on offense. And I just, there's really no other way to play. They had a lot of production and did some good things in the second half there, and we had some trouble with some other things too. So, I think it's just two teams that were playing hard.
Josh, is this being overblown a little bit? In college, coaches get accused of running up the score all the time, but a lot of times the discrepancy in talent is huge, and that's why that accusation is there. In the pros, is the thinking, hey, we're all pros here, and you take
it? Well, I think, again, I don't really know the whole situation in that regard. I just know that, we were in a game the other night where it was, I believe, 33-13 in the fourth quarter, and we ended up with 33 points, and so, we keep, you got to keep trying to chop wood and keep playing because, you get a break here or there, you force a three and out, you get a turnover, you recover an onside kick, you block a punt, something like that. And then all of a sudden, now the game becomes a game, even though somebody else in the stadium may think, it's really not that competitive. I think in this league, things can change dramatically. And I know that, I've been on the wrong end of those too, where, all of a sudden somebody's got momentum and you can't really stop it. And so I just think, I think every team's trying to just play hard and coach hard throughout the entire course of the game. And I think that's what I would expect from both teams this week.
Hey Josh, do you know why he did what he did and why he said?
I think it's really being overblown here today. I am like myself. I think it's, two guys that are going to coach hard and shake hands at the end of the game. And, I think he, their team is playing well, and we're going to go there and try to put together our best performance.
Hey, Josh, on the touchdown to Bajma last week, was that the same type of play?
Which one?
When he got open?
Unfortunately, I have to ask that question. D-Mac.
Cut across and
yes.
Wide open.
Yes.
Was that the same play?
Similar to the over. It was similar. It's kind of a scheme that's, I think, in vogue this year, if you will. The Eagles do it. I think I've seen the Redskins do it. Definitely have seen, you know, Oakland has done it. Some other teams have done it where they try to kind of get one of the tight ends on the backside of the play lost, totally lost, because you're playing run. It's very difficult if you're in man coverage because the run fake goes the other direction and you're kind of chasing that. And then by the time you turn around and try to find your guy, and then he's sneaking through, and then all of a sudden he's on the other side of the field. So it's a very popular scheme this year, one that we've seen more than twice. It's the two times that you just referenced that I remember. We've played it well in a few other situations, but certainly if you get caught in man coverage against that type of play, it can be problematic.
Who in man coverage, whose responsibility is
it? It depends on what you're doing. If you're blitzing and playing man coverage, it could be a linebacker, it could be a secondary defender. It's one or the other, obviously, because usually that play is run with multiple tight ends in the game. So it could be a safety, it could be a linebacker, and you know, and like I said, if you're in man coverage, one of them's got to try to play the run and then also try to stay with their coverage as well. And that's one of the contradictions you get into when you play, you know, man coverage against multiple tight end sets.
You were up 35-0 on the Chiefs. Castle and Bowe kind of finished up with nice numbers.
Yeah.
And then they've continued to explode. Is that kind of a lesson that garbage time matters too to the?
I don't think there really is garbage time. I mean, I think, you know, they're playing hard, and you know, we would do the same. And I think those two, I don't really think that was the beginning. I think, you know, this is we knew that going into the game, that this was a very productive combination. I think the last three or four games, Dwayne Bowe's had the best stretch of any receiver in NFL history. And you really, one out of every four catches is a touchdown. Castle's one of only four quarterbacks ever to have 22-4 at this point in the year. I mean, there's every superlative that you could use in the last 7 or 8 weeks here in terms of where they stand in their passing offense and how explosive it's become. It's scary because when you're talking about a team that averages 200 yards rushing a game at home, and you're also saying that they got a receiver that's had the best stretch in NFL history, and a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes and really has done a nice job of making big plays in the passing game, I mean, you know, you got to defend everything. And, you know, it's going to start with the running game, which I think you always have to try to, you know, do a good job with that, because if you don't stop that, I mean, you got problems everywhere. So, you know, they've really complemented each other as the game, as the season has worn on. You know, the running game, the passing game, their production lately has really become a big factor for their team.
Playing at a higher level than when you coached him?
I think he's having a great season. I mean, he's, you know, I think the season I had an opportunity to coach him, you know, was his first year. And I think he, you know, he had a good season. I think this year he's playing at a very high level. And that's a credit to Todd and Charlie and the players they put around him and the schemes that they're using with him, and his ability to do whatever they ask him to do. And at the same time, take care of the football all the time. You know, to be on pace for an NFL low in turnovers and then still have that type of production in the passing game, that tells you that you're basically hitting it on the head every time. And Matt's, you know, like I said, he's having a season that's very deserving of all the accolades he's receiving.
When you were helping develop him, did you believe that he could be capable of this type of play?
I think that'd be me saying a lot if I said that I predicted or anything like that. I've always felt since that opportunity to coach him and let him play that he was a very talented player. Nobody works harder than he does. He's always in the facility first. He'll always be one of the last ones to leave. He's a great leader. He's very smart. He knows the defense. He'll study tape and until he knows it like the back of his hand. He's accurate. He's fearless. I think everybody loves to play for him, and you can tell that. It's very contagious because of one of the plays I can reference from last week. Jamal Charles had a run to the left, cut it back, went all the way to the right, and Castle's ahead of him, you know, throwing blocks on linebackers and defensive backs, and you know, he's very unselfish too. He does what he's asked to do, and whether that's throw for 350 yards or hand it off 48 times or both, he tries to do everything that he can to help the team win, and I have a great deal of respect for him.